SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the world of the internet, and being a content creator is a full-time job and more. On today's episode of SBS Spice, we're going to talk online content, but especially being a South Asian content creator.
I do comedy. Like, all I want to do is make people happy, make people laugh, and, you know, sometimes the jokes hit, sometimes they don't hit, and that's just the nature of what I do.
That's Jeremy Franco, Australia's favourite auntie. Welcome to SBS Spice. My name is Suhaila Sharif. My guest Jeremy has had a journey with content creation. He grew up in Australia and, like many diasporic kids, has his own personal relationship with being brown, but also leaning into being brown online.
Like, I went to a very non-brown school. I was probably one of the only brown people in my school. I'd say my content is so much more brown now.
With the ever-changing algorithm, how much do we rely on culture to feel seen? Is it necessary to always do brown-focused content as a brown creator? And if it's okay to make fun of being brown? All this and more with Jeremy Franco, only on SBS Spice.
Hello, SBS Spice. I'm Jeremy Franco. I am a writer, a radio host, a digital host, and a creator. And I'm from India. I mean, that's why I'm here, right?
I mean, let's maybe talk about that. So what we would like to get into a bit more is, who exactly is Jeremy? And more importantly, who was Jeremy before social media?
In what context?
You have mentioned that you weren't actually born in Australia. So take us back to...
To literal birth.
Right from the beginning.
I'm born in Mumbai, India. I'm originally from Goa. I lived back and forth between Hong Kong and Mumbai. Then I moved to Australia when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. And then between 6 and about 18, I was sort of back and forth between Sydney and Mumbai. So I did all my schooling in Sydney, but in any off chance, because my mom was a flight attendant, and all of our family is back in Mumbai, we'd sort of be in and out.
I want to go into content creation and how that's become, you know, how we know you today. Content creation is quite a new experience and quite a new field for many people. So how did content creation come into your life?
Oh, it's not new for me. I feel like I've been doing it for a bazillion years. I mean, very recently, I'm very lucky to be doing it full time, but I started making videos and content back in high school. I used to watch Lily Singh, Liza Koshy,
The legends, the absolute legends.
The goats. And I was obsessed with their content. And I remember when I went to university, I bought a film camera and I would go around and I would film us at the nightclubs, in the library, going to class. And I would collate these videos and I'd put them on YouTube and no one would watch them. But I didn't care because I loved doing it. I absolutely loved making videos and it was so much fun. And then, you know, Snapchat became popular and I started posting on Snapchat. Instagram became popular. I started posting on Instagram and it was just never felt like something that I thought I would make a living from. It was just always something that I really enjoyed to do. And it wasn't until about, I'd say almost 2 years ago, where I started pursuing it full time.
So if we were to go back into the archives and find those videos that you made for yourself, thinking that you had zero views for them now, have you kept that same element or that same essence of yourself from the videos you used to make for fun to the content you create today?
No. I'd say my content is so much more brown now.
Really?
Yeah.
So embracing that brown side of you, as you say.
It's not that I wasn't embracing it, but I was, you know, I was 18, 19. I was still learning about myself, my identity, who I was. And as I said, I was in university. I was running around in nightclubs and stuff like that. And it wasn't until a couple of years later where I really started reflecting on my upbringing and my parents and my family life. And I feel like a lot of people do that once they get to their 20s. And that's when I started to realize, oh my God, there's fun video content here as well. So that's what I started posting.
And I guess the South Asian community is so big online. That's where most people find themselves, is seeing people like you creating content. And we're actually like, that's relatable. Being a content creator, have you found a community online that celebrates you and your South Asian identity?
Yeah, for sure. So just for context for people, so I post videos where I dress up as my mom sometimes. I act her out if she's yelling at me, her expectations for me growing up, maybe some flashbacks of times in school. I dress up as my dad sometimes too, but it's mainly a lot of focus on my mom.
I mean, both of them are iconic.
Yeah. So I think that once I started doing that, people really started to relate to it in a way that was very surprising for me. The first taste that I had of that was off Lily Singh, where, like, I went to a very non-brown school. I was probably one of the only brown people in my school. So a lot of the experiences that I was going through family-wise were, like, I just felt very in the dark because I was like, oh, none of my friends are experiencing this. You know, when they get C's on their report cards, their parents are all like, oh, good job.
Like, well done for trying participation.
Exactly, exactly.
Well done.
Whereas no one else seems to not be allowed to go to the party because of their report card. And then once I started watching Superwoman's videos, I was, you know, I had this feeling of like, oh, wait, like my dad does that too. And oh, I thought it was just my mom who does that. So that was my first sort of taste of that feeling. And then, yeah, when I started posting these videos, I don't want to use the word traumatic, but just like experiences when I was growing up that I thought that I felt really alone or that were quite isolating for me. Getting that feedback from people to be like, oh my God, I went through this as well. Oh my gosh, my mom did this as well. It really made me see the humor in it and that it's just something that we all go through. And yeah, it sort of normalized that behavior for me. So yeah, it was really, really good to find this community of people that grew up similar to how I grew up and had type of parents that I had. So yeah, it just felt really good to connect with that community.
And when you have that kind of community, you realize that you're actually not alone. You know, there's people who are probably like a suburb away and are like, yeah, maybe I actually went through that as well.
I mean, it can go either way here in Australia. I feel like some brown people go to school with all brown people and they go to a big brown school and they have all different types of friends. Whereas, as I said, for me, and I know it is quite common, I grew up in a very, actually, you're from the same area that I grew up
in. I was going to say, we're literally from the same area and we're like, oh, we never had each other. Well, skip to like,
but there are brown schools in that area.
Yes,
and there are non-brown schools because I'm from Goa. So Goa is a Christian colony, so I went to a Catholic school, and that's why I was sort of in that situation. And then yes, it wasn't until I got into university and left university that I looked around and I was like, oh my God, who are all these brown people?
There's more of us.
I know. I want to be friends with them. So maybe it was also me looking for a community in a way because I didn't have that in my everyday life. So I think that as well is one of the reasons why I maybe started posting videos, is to find that community.
And I have to say, like, thank you for your content because it definitely made me realize, like, brown moms are pretty much the same. Like, I don't know what cookie cutter they're all cut from when it comes to like their little mannerisms and how they talk to you and how they roast you on a daily basis. But I have to ask you, how does it feel being Australia's favorite Indian auntie?
It is wild. It's very wild, especially going into situations and people are like, where's mom? What would mom say? Now, whenever I post anything on Instagram, I could literally post me wearing, I don't know, a yellow t-shirt and people will comment, what does mom have to say about that? And I'm like, I am mom. Like, I don't, it's so random when it's like, wait, what are the lines here? Like, what are we blurring? I don't know if people think that this man in the mustache is, I don't know what's going on there. So it's very humbling and I love it and it's great. I don't know if my mom would say the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how has your mom reacted to, has she seen your videos?
Look, my parents don't have social media.
Okay.
Obviously at this point, we've gotten to a bigger scale where, you know, it comes up in conversation between their friends. So I'm sure that people, you know, my mom's work friends show her my videos sometimes.
And she just happily nods along like, yes, that's my son. Like, yes.
I don't know. Honestly, we don't really talk about it. I think it's better that way.
Yeah, probably.
Especially because I need to keep the inspiration coming, you know? So, yeah. But there have been some conversations recently where actually, like, this happened a couple of weeks ago where my mom was on the phone and she was gossiping hard. And I had just walked,
exactly.
And I had walked into the house, but the door was open. So like, you know, she didn't hear me walk in and she was just going wild. I don't know what she was talking about, but she was going ham on someone. And then after about half an hour, you know, she hung up the phone. She walked into the kitchen. She saw me there. The look of panic on her face, she was like, do not make a video about this. You heard what, like, she was so stressed because she must have been going in on about someone, one of the aunties, one of the cousins, someone.
She has to keep vigilant. She's like, do I have to like tone it back?
Exactly.
Like, am I being too much
Which
of a
I
mom?
Don't want, you know, because I need to keep all the inspo coming.
Yeah,
because
I
still live with them if that wasn't obvious, so.
But there is a sense of weight that can come for some social content creators, South Asian specifically, who may feel like you have a platform and you need to use it as well as you can, because we never had that representation growing up, right? And social media has exploded with South Asian content creators who are actually bringing that. Do you ever feel like sometimes you need to take a step back and think about what is the kind of content I'm putting out there and am I doing it responsibly?
Absolutely. I feel like it's a huge responsibility, but also it's not something that I'm forcing out of myself. It's just something that I'm very passionate about. My background is I used to work for, you know, in agencies. I used to work at television networks. And when I was there, I would look around and I wouldn't see anyone who really looked like me. And when I was working at this particular TV network, I really wanted to be on screen. That was always what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be in front of the camera, but I never had a reference point in, you know, here in Australia. Obviously, you look in the US, you look in India, you even look in the UK and you see a lot more reference points. But here in Australia, it's a lot more minimal. So I knew that that's why I wanted to start my own channel and my own social media, so I could create that representation there. So it's something that I myself am very passionate about. I'd say the way that I do that is I don't depict anything in my social media that's not something that I've experienced or have directly gone through. In other words, I don't make videos about stereotypes.
You keep it real.
You know, I keep it real. And like every video that I make, I can call reference to. It's not always my mom. Sometimes it's my auntie. Sometimes it's like, you know, stories from my friends. And that's why I don't call to say that I know everything about the Indian experience, because I can only talk for myself. And India has such a big plethora of communities and cultures where everyone has their own thing that they've gone through in life. So yeah, I'd say that how I go about it. And I think that it is important for me to just be authentic.
I definitely catch a drift. I think representation has been a long time coming when it comes to like mainstream media. And it just so happens that the way that platforms like TikTok and Instagram exploded, we ended up seeing more visibility there and more of a community there rather than we have, let's just say, TV or movies or radio even.
You don't want to segregate yourself and just be like, oh, well, all the brown people and brown content have to stay on this side and you can only engage with that content. I think the overall goal is to blend it all together and have everyone sort of be a part of it.
It's a really eye-opening thing. I think we've definitely come a long way, especially when I was younger. I used to try those pockets of the internet, like creators like Lily Singh, Liza Koshy, Just Rain. They were like the people who I grew up with, but it kind of took my time. I had to go out of my way to find them. So now that we have creators...
What do you think of Lily Singh now? I'm flipping the script.
She created content which sometimes... You know, looking back, I'm kind of like, oh, like, are we always really going to be the butt of the joke? But in saying that, I think she did an amazing job at the time that she was at her highest and at her peak. I honestly sometimes miss her. And I sometimes miss her old content.
What does
as
she
well.
Do now? Can anyone please tell us what Lily Singh does now?
You?
Where are you? What are you doing?
Like, we
are you just hanging out with Priyanka Chopra every day?
Yeah.
Like, what have you done?
And also, how do I get into that circle?
Exactly.
Thank you.
But no, I agree with you. I think that she paved the way for sure. And it's because of her that, you know, even I'm here. Like, you know, I credit a lot of my career to her for sure, because she gave me inspiration to start it. Now, looking back, definitely there are questionable jokes that she made. But, you know, I think the same thing about Russell Peters. Russell Peters' whole comedic set back in the day was, yes, who was the butt of the joke?
Yes.
Who was he making fun of? But at the end of the day, that's what he had to do to get into those circles, to make people laugh and to have that representation up there. And because of him now, there are so many other South Asian comics who are coming up. So he had to do that to get where he is. And so many people have benefited from that as well. And I think it's the same for Lily Singh. And, you know, credit to her. She did so well. She's probably doing... I don't know what you do. I'm sorry.
Girl, where are
Lily
you?
Singh, Kate Middleton, where are these girls? I'm very interested in her post-YouTube journey and, like, what she's been up to. Because she had that show, didn't she?
She had that late-night talk show. Which
and everyone hated that show.
I know, because... But she broke so many stereotypes. She was the first South Asian woman and South Asian woman in the LGBTQ community to have her own late-night talk show. And... I honestly don't know what happened, but if it's something along the lines of like she wasn't getting the reception, you know, they expected or everything. Like, I think we have to stop labeling these content creators or people in the industry as like being the brown one and being the reason, that being the reason why we come to them. I think her just being a late night talk show host, like if that was for anyone else, we would be watching her. But
exactly.
Yeah, maybe that's a conspiracy video we have to go into, Jeremy.
What happened to... I mean, she's probably still thriving.
She is probably thriving.
You know, the Instagram feed sometimes.
In LA,
you know,
in
you
her
miss things.
Incredible but, home, yeah.
But Liza Koshy, I think she's doing great.
She's everywhere.
Acting. I think she's in a new Netflix series.
Yes, Players. I mean, like, she's doing really, really well. And
what's Jess Rhein doing?
Oh my God. Jess Rhein just came back after so long.
Oh, he took time off.
He took years off. He was gone for ages. People were like, wait, where are you? Is he missing or everything?
And was he doing anything?
He just came back a month ago and he's got his own TV show.
Oh.
He like, and that TV show is based on his experiences as a South Asian, not a content creator. I think he actually does play a content creator, but the side of the show is kind of unpacking the story behind who he was off the camera.
Interesting.
And it's a crazy way to come back because everyone was just like, Jess Rhein, like, you are kind of like how we grew up watching you.
Wow, I'll have to check it out when I get home.
Yeah, it's called Late Bloomer.
Okay.
Just out there, Jess Rhein, Late Bloomer. So people should check
it
out.
Very soon.
Yeah, you get a cameo in there as auntie maybe. But I think the one thing that we're tapping into here is how people outside the South Asian community have created that image of us based off assumptions. And then what Lily Singh and Russell Peters, these kind of comedians and these kind of people in the media had to do is address those assumptions. And then once people got comfortable, make them uncomfortable by being like, hey, we're not all like this. Aside from you being auntie, how do you add your own spice to the content that you make? And you've done so many things, like you had mentioned, you're a writer, you've been doing interviews lately on red carpets. Like, how do you keep your interactions with, I guess, your community to yourself online? Like, keep it true to yourself.
I mean, I've always just loved being in front of the camera, to be honest. And I think that always just stemmed from me wanting to share my story and get it out there. Love my parents to death, but me and my parents, we're not besties. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't tell them, you know, oh my God, I had a fight with my friend. Like, you know, I don't know them like that.
I don't think many people who are South Asian have that kind of relationship.
For sure.
Either.
Oh my God, I posted a video about this. I was in, where was I? I was in Brazil somewhere, and I was at like a hotel buffet breakfast. And there was, at the table next to me, there was like a son and his dad. And the way that these two were just like, catch like chatting and laughing and like I was like, is this how people talked with their families?
It's like that one interaction could have healed years of trauma for you.
I was very like, because you know, I feel like for me, I get scared to say anything because then I'll just get yelled at. Like, I could literally say anything. I'll be like, oh yes, I went to the shops today, and be like, oh, you didn't get me that. Like, I was, oh, I don't want to hear it. So yeah, sometimes I get to that stage. But yeah, so I feel like it kind of stemmed from that. It was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna chat to whoever will listen. And that's how it all kind of started. So yeah, I think in terms of authenticity, I'm just always very open to share what's going on in my life. And I chat to my community, my followers, as if they are my friends. And that's, I think, the best way to do it.
And that's how it feels. I feel like I'm like listening to a bestie ranting when I'm looking at your content.
For a while, I was known for crying on my social media a lot. I would like, you know, if I was happy, I would post it. And also if I was sad and I was bawling my
eyes out.
Jeremy,
are you okay?
I'm okay. I haven't cried this year. I've been very
good. Oh my God, really?
But yes, every year I do a crying collage as requested by my followers. So it's all the times that I've captured myself crying, and it's a big carousel and people love it. And last year, you know, I was like, oh, I had a good year. And everyone was like, where are the crying photos? So I was like, oh God.
That's the content we're here for, though,
exactly,
Jeremy.
Exactly. But I think that's what's so important. And I honestly think I owe a lot of my success to that authenticity, because just sharing the good is only going to get you so far, because people really want to relate to you and they want to see, okay, you have bad days just like me. And I think that's where I attribute a lot of it is, you know, being vulnerable and showing all sides of what I'm going through. So it's not just the happy auntie skit content. It's as well the low days, the bad days, and the good days. And I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing. It feels like a dream job. And I just really hope that I can continue making amazing content for the people who are supporting me.
Well, we love having you, Jeremy. So continue doing what you're doing, including making crying carousel collages. So, Jeremy, you had mentioned you're from a Goan background and you were born in Mumbai. What was your mother tongue Did you speak English growing up?
Yeah. English is the first language in Goa. And then after that, I think it's Konkani, mm-hmm. which is like a Portuguese dialect, like a Hindi dialect.
Yeah.
And then obviously after that is Hindi and then Marathi for in Mumbai.
Oh, so do you speak any other languages besides English?
No, because okay. So I did my schooling here in Sydney and my parents, my grandparents, they all speak English first. So mm-hmm. unless you do your schooling there, no one really speaks it.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Which is very different because a lot of people assume that my family speak Hindi or that, you know, even that, like maybe we'd speak Portuguese. Like my grandparents spoke fluent Portuguese as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But yeah, English is our first language. Even when I go over there, I only ever speak English there, which is interesting to some people. But, you know, as we know, India has, I think it's what, the most English speakers in the globe per capita, something like that. Yeah.
Our source, Jeremy Franco, saying that
English. I swear that's true. India has the most English speakers in the world.
I think I'm going to go with, yeah, I will agree with you. Regardless.
I'm getting a nod in the background.
A lot of nods.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but I think you might have come across, you know, the saying, well, I know it in Hindi as Lok Kya Kahenge, or what will people say? And I guess, you know, sometimes for South Asians, understanding what will people say or having that looming at the back of your head can make you do a double take on some of the decisions you do. Does caring about what people will say get to you sometimes?
For sure. Here's the thing with Indian parents that nobody tells you. They will support you in what you want to do, but only if you're successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not about the process, okay? If Priyanka Chopra was an aspiring actress, her parents would be like,
nah, it'd be way different.
It's because she won that beauty pageant and went straight to the top. They're not about the middle bit. So during the whole middle bit of me pursuing it, I had to really do it in secret because, yes, it was very much like, what will my parents think? What will the aunties think? What will my family think? So back in the day when I used to post videos on Facebook, I used to use the custom function, which is where you can block everyone from seeing the stuff that you're posting. So I remember on Facebook, my block list was like 100 names, and it was my parents, my parents' friends, my cousins. Anybody who had any link to my family, I would block them from everything. And that's when I would post all of my videos because, yeah, I was very much like, oh my God, what are people going to think? People are going to make comments. People are going to say things. And I'd rather not get into that scenario. So, and it wasn't until, you know, I started to achieve some success that then people started to find it, discover it. And then they were all like, oh my God, we love it. This is great. But as I said, no one was about the process. So yes, I definitely was worried what people were going to think back in the day. And I feel like that's a very common thing for a lot of brown people who are pursuing their passions, whatever it may be. People really get scared about that initial process of telling people, even just like starting a business, people get scared to ask, you know, reach out for help. So
I feel like that's a big thing in the South Asian community is people will always talk down when you're in that middle process, as you said, but when people actually need help, it's so hard to ask sometimes because you don't want to be vulnerable and look like you're in a state of vulnerability where you're just like, yeah, things aren't going that great.
Yeah, because people are judgy. Like people will be like, oh, she's an aspiring actress. Or, oh, he's, you know.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, like, he's trying to start this business. And, you know, people are very judgy. But also, you know, we have to flip the script. And that's what I also do in my content as well, is just making sure that I acknowledge where things come from. And I think, you know, with my parents as well, just, you know, speaking on my experience with social media, the reason why they were so, and probably still are, very unsure about it is it's just stability. Like they just want stability for their kids. So when people are pursuing these passions or side projects that have a lot longer payoff, all they want is just for their kid to have a stable salary and regular income. And because, you know, that's just the dream. And that's what they moved here for, to make sure that their children were set up. So I get it from both ends, but yeah, we got to change something about that because
it's enough.
It's tough. It is hard. It was very hard for me to do it on the side secretly, honestly. And that's why it probably took me so long to finally consider it to be a full-time job.
Otherwise you'd be in the same era as Lily Singh, and then we would be like, oh my God, where's your late night show?
Where's Jeremy? Where is he?
That idea of what will people say has gone from being our aunties to being the comment sections of, you know, our social media platforms. Jeremy, do you read your comment sections?
I don't. I really don't.
And does that help you? Is that why you've stopped crying in the past year?
Maybe. I don't know. Look, I just get scared of the comment section.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Okay, look, there's two ways. Obviously, a lot of my videos are more fun, so they shouldn't attract any bad attention, to be honest. So sometimes I just don't get to it. But there are a lot of videos that I know, okay, this is a bit risky. This is going to attract some eyes. And yes, I feel like if I do go in that comment section, it will definitely limit my creativity, because if I do want to make more videos, I'll be a little bit like, oh my God, what are people going to say exactly what you said? So yeah, I try to stay out of there as much as I can. I mean, you and I were just talking about a video that I posted recently.
Yes.
You're like, did you see the comments? And I was like, nope.
And I think then you start losing that part of you, which actually loves content creating, because you care more about what will people say rather than just making the content for who you are and for yourself.
Exactly. And people are going to hate regardless. And here's the thing. I do comedy. Like, all I want to do is make people happy, make people laugh. And, you know, sometimes the jokes hit, sometimes they don't hit. And that's just the nature of what I do. But my intent is always good. And I know that my intent is good. And it's just to make people laugh and to make people happy. So when I know that there's going to be, you know, some bad comments in there, I just don't want to acknowledge them, because I know, okay, I know I'm a good person. I know I didn't mean anything bad by it. And, you know, if I start reading those things, that's when it will just sort of like cloud and I'll be questioning, oh my God, like, who am I? What did I do?
I think working media as well, the one thing that I hear a lot is, you know, you've made it when you've got haters. I am here today. You guys are looking at me, and that's exactly what I want.
Have you ever left a hate comment?
No, I can't Never? Do that. No.
Actually, I have a funny story. Because you just had Priya on yes. the show. I don't know if I've told this story to Priya, but I left a hate comment on her video one time. When she started making videos, I hadn't even started posting to TikTok. I used to watch her stuff. She had barely had any followers.
Guys, I don't know if you can hear this, but I'm side-eyeing Jeremy
okay,
so
it wasn't
hard.
A hate comment. Let me explain. Okay, it wasn't a full hate comment. Basically, and Priya will probably back me up. Maybe she won't. I don't know. I should probably not have told this story. Basically, she, you know, used to post her cooking videos. Hi, my name is Priya. She's been doing that since day one. And then I think at one point she changed to like ASMR. Like, she would start whispering. She would be like, hi, my name is Priya, and I wake up. And I hated it. Like, I literally hated the whispering, because I just wanted to hear her amazing voice and hear her videos. And she did that like consistently for weeks. So I left a comment one time. Again, I didn't know her. I'd only been watching her videos, and I left a comment and I said, why are you whispering? And it got a lot of likes, and people were responding, being like, oh my God, I was thinking the same thing, blah,
like,
blah, blah.
Thank you for saying
and
this
yeah,
to me.
It started rolling, and I was like, oh God, no, I didn't mean for this to become like a big thing.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean, she stopped whispering, so.
You started something. You accelerated her career.
Sorry,
that
Priya.
Point
sorry.
You were also on the runway for Australian Fashion Week last year. What's a fashion risk you think more men should take?
Oh, good question. I love Crocs.
Really?
I love Crocs.
Have you got like personalized Crocs and everything?
I mean, like, I get all the gibbets and stuff.
Oh,
and
yes.
I, you know, decorate them all. But I have green Crocs, I have yellow Crocs, I have rainbow Crocs, fluoro Crocs. I've got it all. I feel like people are sleeping on the Crocs. I'm really enjoying the crop top era. Not fully cropped. I'm talking like a, let me just paint the picture. I'm just talking about not like a really long drapey shirt, like something where, like, you know, if you lift your hands up, like, you might see a little skin there. Enjoy it.
I think I remember this, like, I've only ever seen it once, and it was Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he wore a crop top, and I was like, that's actually, that's a fit. We should see more of that. So I'm glad that you agree.
I'm trying to make it a thing at my gym.
Oh,
no one's really paying attention to me, but I'm walking around like, come on, like, do it.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
And speaking more on red carpets, do you get starstruck when you're like talking to these celebrities? Like, you've talked to a wide range of people.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like the world's biggest fan girl. Like, I could meet like the 12th eliminated contestant on MasterChef, and I'll be like, ah! So it's been very surreal to be meeting some of these people. Sometimes it's also very intimidating as well, because, you know, you're meeting people where in this industry, and I don't know if people know this, but, you know, when you meet like very high level celebrities, every like word you say has to get approved. Like, you can't just chat freely to them. Their publicist has to approve every question.
Oh,
they
wow.
will say no to a majority of your questions. So it's very intimidating as well, because it's sometimes like, I'm meeting you, but I can't even like fully speak to you.
You're just internally screaming.
Exactly.
You're like, oh
internally
my God, like,
screaming.
How does it feel?
Like, and also you have to balance this thing of like professionalism. But yes all the time I am like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm meeting that person. And I can't believe I'm here. And oh my God, it's surreal sometimes. Yeah.
Let's manifest this for you. You know, 2024. Who is someone you want to interview?
Good question. I think I would like to interview Lily Singh.
Lily Singh?
Yes. Oh, Kate Middleton, where are you? I think it would be very cool. Like, look, when I was young, I would, like, you know, I went to her meet and greets and stuff like that. Like, you know, when I was in high school. So I would love to chat to her, kind of see how, you know, like, see her take on her career. And I'd love to get her to reflect on the high moments. And also, I want to know, like, what changes she's noticed that she's made, because she has made so many changes. And also I would like to tell her that, you know, I owe a lot of my success to her for sure, because not my success, but I mean, I was inspired by her content for sure. So that would be really, really awesome and really special. And maybe one day.
So Lily Singh, wherever you are, please come talk to Jeremy, because he's got questions.
Please, please. You can come on this show.
Yes. We'd love to have you. You know, have a panel discussion and just like grill you for a little bit. But no, all love to Lily Singh and just like all South Asian content creators at the moment. To wrap things up, I would like to talk about what the future looks like for content creation and being online. Because at the moment in America, things for TikTok aren't looking that great. And, you know, we're hearing the word ban a lot. What do you think life would look like? Let's just say TikTok wasn't there anymore. Instagram wasn't there anymore.
Here's the thing, and I've said this before. I make a lot of South Asian, maybe, you know, Indian style content. TikTok is banned in India. So I've already experienced what that looks like in terms of limiting audiences, and it does suck. It definitely does. So if you knock out a lot of the US, which obviously comes with a lot of brown people who are in the US, it definitely will not only limit audiences, but limit the voices, limit the representation. And I feel like it will set us back a lot. You know, the UK is doing great and Australia is doing great, but definitely a lot of it comes out of the US. So that will be very unfortunate. Hopefully we can move to another place. But without social media and without content creation, oh gosh, I don't know. We'd have to rely on mainstream media. And I feel like in other markets, as I said, it's a lot better, but here in Australia, I feel like we have so many strides to go. And I think if that's all that we could rely on here, it would be atrocious.
And that was Jeremy Franco. If you liked the episode, share it with your friends. Subscribe to SBS Spice wherever you get your podcasts and never miss an update. Find and follow us on Instagram at SBS Spice for more behind-the-scenes chit-chats, explainers, and pop culture patrols. We'll be back soon with another Chili in the Pod to see what makes South Asians tick or ick.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.